Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our services tonight here at Faith Forward Baptist Church. Very good to see you all here for our Sunday night service. If you would please find your seats and take a hymnal, go to hymn 223. We'll get started tonight. Hymn number 223, Springs of Living Water. Hymn number 223. Once you find your place, sing it out with me on that first now. Hymn number 223. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water. Drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Amen. Good start to our singing tonight. We want to go before the Lord and ask His blessing on the service. So I've asked Brother Nick McIntosh, if you would lead us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be gathered here tonight. I pray that you would bless the singing, and that you would fill Pastor Anderson with the power of your Holy Spirit as he preaches to us later. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And up to hymn 294, hymn number 294, Stepping in the Light. Hymn number 294 begins trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Hymn number 294, lift your voice on that first verse together now.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light.
Of the Savior,
right, at this time we'll go through our announcements together. If you don't have a bulletin, slip up your hand nice and high. We'll get to you with one. On the inside, we have our service time. Sunday mornings at 10:30 is our preaching service. Sunday nights at 6. Wednesday nights at 7 is our Bible study. This week, we will be actually not jumping into Psalm 74 yet because we're having a special guest preacher, which is Pastor Corbin Ressel from Straight Paths Baptist Church down in Tucson, Arizona. And so I know many of you are friends with him, and it's going to be great to see him again. So be sure to come out this Wednesday night, even if you're not normally accustomed to do so, or even if it's inconvenient, you know, try to get down here to listen to Brother Corbin Ressel preach. And of course, he's pastoring down in Tucson. And so if you're ever down in Tucson or you know people down in Tucson, be sure to let them know about that church down there, Straight Paths Baptist Church. All right, and then first Friday's soul winning event, that was cool. 5 soul winners had 13 salvations, so good job to those 5 soul winners that went out there, very successful. Keep praying for our expectant ladies that they'll have a safe and healthy pregnancy and delivery. We got the mother-daughter tea party coming up. The registration is now open for this, so if you know which date you want to go, you're going to want to get signed up sooner rather than later because these spots do fill up. Don't sign up unless you're serious about coming. And if something changes with your RSVP, be sure to let us know right away so that we can get somebody else in that spot. When you RSVP, make sure to let the church know the details as far as just, you know, how many. Don't just click on the Facebook event going, right? We need you to send us some kind of a message, either post a comment in the members only group that explains, you know, who's coming, how old they are, and stuff like that, or send an email giving the names and ages of the people that are coming. And so those are the dates. Read up on that and really hope you can come because I know that the ladies love this event. And then below that, other upcoming events, we've got the Bahamas Cruise Mission Trip. It's really probably too late to get in on this because the price has more than doubled since we first advertised this thing. Think about these cruises is you typically want to sign up from, you know, a month or two in advance because that's when the price is better. And then as you get close, they start jacking up the price, especially if Faithful Word's buying up all the reservations. So we will announce very soon, we'll announce another opportunity in case you didn't get in on this one and you want to do the next one. We'll announce another one and put it out there like months in advance. That way people can get the cheap deal. And we specifically picked this one because it was a good deal, but it's no longer a good deal. Now, also remember, if you want to just plan your own cruise mission trip, you know, we can help you out with that. We can give you the tips. You basically just, you know, people have asked about this. Really, you just need 2 people to do this. And the reason I say 2 people is because usually buying a cruise for 1 person is like the same price as buying it for 2 people because it's by the room pretty much. And so the cabin typically is always going to accommodate 2 people. And so traveling by yourself, you're kind of paying double. So, and plus here's the thing, doing anything by yourself is usually a bad idea anyway, right? You got to use the buddy system. And so it's always better to have somebody with you. It's very rare that you're going to have an effective mission trip by yourself. You know, even Paul is taking with him Barnabas or Silas, you know. So you always want to have a sidekick. And so if you can just get 2 people that are interested that can go on the same date, you guys can plan these on your own. And we've had already a bunch of people in our church planning their own cruises, and they're already signed up for stuff in April, stuff in October, that they just sought out the cruise that works for them. And there's a great website to help you do it called cruiseplum.com. And so, yeah, and if you need tips or anything, we can point you in the right direction. We've made some videos about it and stuff like that. Pastor Bruce Mejia is going to be preaching on April the 9th at 7 p.m., so that's another great guest preacher coming up. He pastors First Works Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California. Really, more specifically, he's in Anaheim, Orange County. And then also the KJV conference is on the calendar. That's actually up in Vancouver, Washington. But if you want to take a little trip, travel up to the beautiful Pacific Northwest, then I would highly recommend this conference. in the Portland area. It's really, you know, don't tell Pastor Thompson I said this, but Vancouver, Washington is like a Portland suburb is what it is. So, you know, if that helps, you fly into Portland. All right, that's about it for announcements. Let's go ahead and tally up the soul winning from the past few days. Going back to Thursday, anything from Thursday? Okay, got it. I thought I saw a twitch or something over here. Anything else? All right, how about Friday? Okay. Anything else from Friday? Oh, gotcha. Was that a two? Sorry, okay. All right, anything else from Friday? And then how about Saturday? Anything from yesterday, Saturday? Okay. Okay, any other groups from Saturday? Okay, and then how about today, Brother Scott? Nine for the main team with Brother Scott. Any other teams? Okay. Gotcha. Got it. Gotcha. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. All right. Anything else from today? Very good. Keep up the great work. And with that, let's sing our next song. Come lead us.
All right. You should find the insert in front of your hymnal with Psalm 67. If you don't have an insert, please raise your hand. And we'll sing it together on that verse. God be merciful unto us and bless us.
God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth. Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise.
Take your hymnals now and turn to hymn number 456, hymn number 456, All Your Anxiety, hymn number 456. Let's lift it up on that verse now, hymn number 456, Is There a Heart or Bound by Sorrow? Is There a Life Weighed Down by Care? Hymn number 456, sing it out together now.
Is there a Yeah.
right, at this time, we will pass our offering plates around. As the plates go around, let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 22, the final chapter in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, as we always do, we will read the entire chapter beginning in verse number 1. Follow along silently with Brother Corbin Brock as he reads Revelation 22.
Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for Fifth Ward Baptist Church and the souls that were won this week. I ask you to fill Pastor Anderson with your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and our ears to receive your perfect word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, this evening I am finally wrapping up the Revelation 21:8 series. Remember, we'd gone through the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. We're finally down to liars, all liars. And so tonight I am preaching on the subject of liars. And of course, we've all lied before. There's not a just man upon the earth that sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is one of those things where when you're out soul winning and you're trying to show people that all of us are sinners, we all need to be saved. We all need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior because we're doomed and damned due to our sins. It's pretty easy to get people to admit that they've lied before. And if we're honest, of course, we've done many other sins beyond that. But of course, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our sins are forgiven and we go to heaven. It's that simple. But I want to just really delve into the subject of lying tonight from our perspective as Christians, because, you know, we as Christians, we're not going to the lake of fire. We're saved. We have eternal life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But as Christians, we want to live in a way that is pleasing to God. And in order for us to live in a way that is pleasing to God, we need to try to live as righteously as we can, which means trying to stay away from sins like lying. We don't want to be liars, right? We don't want to be known as a liar. We don't want to be one who lies. But another thing that I really want to emphasize tonight is that we also don't want to be people who believe liars or listen to liars. And the first point of my sermon tonight is this. Wicked people believe liars. Now, this is something that I think we often don't think about or don't emphasize, and yet this is something that is clearly taught in the Bible, that wicked people believe liars. Now, if you would turn over to Proverbs, actually turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and while you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to read for you from Proverbs 17:4. And don't miss this quote from Proverbs. It says, "A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips." Don't miss that. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. So when you have someone who hearkens unto the false lips or the lying lips, when you have someone who's listening to liars and giving ear to a naughty tongue, it actually tells you something about the listener as well. And we would just usually think of liars as being the guilty party, but yet the Bible makes it clear that it's a wicked doer that gives heed to false lips. And when you go through life believing liars, that's a testament to the wickedness that is within your own heart. And I'm going to prove this to you from the Bible further. I'm not just giving you one verse on this. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So the Bible here is saying that, look, we need to receive the love of the truth. We need to be lovers of truth and not people who believe lies, because those who believe lies do so because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. They're bad people. That's why they lie? No, they're bad people. That's why they believe lies, because both lying and believing lies are wrong. Okay? Now, Revelation 22:15 is in the chapter that we just read at the beginning of the sermon. And it says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." So it's not just telling a lie that's a sin. It's also loving a lie, believing lies. Why do people believe lies? Because they want to, because they love lies. Right? Instead of receiving the love of the truth that they might be saved, they had pleasure in unrighteousness, and so they believed the lie. You see, people believe what they want to believe, and we are held accountable for the lies that we believe. You see, the Bible says this, Proverbs 29:12, "If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked." And notice, it doesn't say if a ruler tells lies. It says if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. So not only is lying a sin, but loving lies, hearkening to lies, listening to lies, giving ear to lies is also a sin. You say, "Well, Pastor Ashton, it isn't my fault because I just don't know who to believe." Well, riddle me this. If believing lies isn't your fault, then how could God punish people for worshiping a false god? If believing lies isn't your fault, well, then it's not your fault that you're a Muslim. You just believe the lies of Muhammad. And I guess it's not your fault that you're a Mormon because you believe the lies of Joseph Smith. And I guess it's not your fault that you're a Hindu because you believe the lies of the Rig Veda and the Upanishads, right? No, apparently it is your fault for believing lies. You see, the Bible says also in Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come." Watch this. "And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Don't miss this phrase, "whosoever will." In our modern vernacular, that's "whosoever wants to, let him take the water of life freely." See, you have to want truth. You have to desire truth. You have to love truth and not be a wicked person who hearkens to lies and gives ear to those false lips and delights and pleasures in lies and loves a lie and loves unrighteousness. "Well, you know, he thinks he's doing the right thing," is a defense that will sometimes be brought about because someone believes lies and hearkens lies. Well, you got to put yourself in his place. I mean, he thinks he's doing the right thing. So does the suicide bomber who blows himself up and kills 20 innocent people. You know, he gets on some bus in Israel or something with a bunch of men, women, and children, just blows himself up. He thinks he's doing the right thing too, doesn't he? What does the Bible say? John 16:2 says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Oh, well, that's an excuse. Is that an excuse? No. Just because you say, oh, well, I believed liars. I'm sorry, they lied to me. I got lied to. Well, you know what? Shame on you for getting lied to. Because the Bible says we shouldn't be hearkening to lies. We should love the truth. We should not love lies. And people end up believing what they want. Okay? You know why I believe in Jesus? Because I want to believe in Jesus. Because I love Jesus. I want to believe in Jesus. People who don't believe in Jesus, they don't want to believe in Jesus. Okay? At the end of the day, it's your choice. It is your decision. And whosoever will may take the water of life freely. Whosoever will is not just a slogan. It's not just a song that we sing. Whosoever will, whosoever will. That's from the Bible. It's true. Whosoever will may be saved, may come and take the water of life freely. You see, Islam's wicked. And you should be able to figure out that it's wrong. And if you love the truth, you will figure out that it's wrong. It's that simple. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter number 8. We're almost done with the first point. And again, the first point is this. Wicked people believe liars. Wicked people believe liars because they don't love the truth. And because they are wicked themselves, they love the lie. They delight in unrighteousness rather than in true judgment and justice. John chapter 8, verse 44 says this. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Lusts there. You could say desires, the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because, watch this, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. He's saying, look, I'm telling you the truth, and you don't believe me because you're wicked. Because you're of the devil. Because if you were not wicked, you'd love the truth. You'd believe the truth. You wouldn't be believing the lies of the Pharisees and the lies of the Sadducees. You'd be embracing the truth of the Son of God. So it's very easy to just say, well, liars are bad, but it's not people's fault if they just believe lies. They thought they were doing the right thing, and they thought that that guy was telling the truth. And so, you know, it's not their fault that they were lied to and they believed the lies. But at the end of the day, the Bible that I'm reading here seems like God's holding accountable people for believing lies. Amen. For ruler hearkened to lies, all his servants are wicked. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. A liar gives ear to a naughty tongue. He says, you know, people who embrace lies, who believe lies, they're the same type of people that tell lies. They love and make a lie. It's what the Bible clearly teaches. So number one, wicked people believe liars. Number two, and go if you would to Deuteronomy chapter number 19, fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 19, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, verse 16 of chapter 19. I'll start reading while you get there. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make, watch this, diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shall ye put away the evil from among you. Point number two tonight, it is possible to determine truth. Now, this kind of goes with point number one, because if it were not possible to determine truth, then God couldn't really hold you accountable for believing lies, could he? If it was just impossible to figure out what's right, it's just Christianity saying one thing, Islam saying one thing, Hinduism saying one thing. You know, I just can't figure out who do I trust, who's telling the truth. He said, she said, and you know, I just don't know. Then God wouldn't hold you accountable and call you wicked for believing liars. apparently it is possible to determine truth and to know what the truth is. Now here, the Bible is talking about not a controversy of, you know, religion, Christianity versus Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, or something like that, but rather, this is a controversy between two people where one person is accusing another person of a crime. And it's sort of just a he said, she said. You got a witness rising up against someone, testifying against them, but it turns out the witness or witnesses are lying. Okay, so how do they determine that? I mean, how do they know if the witness is telling the truth or if the witness is lying? And of course, we have examples in the Bible like where two false witnesses come forward and accuse Naboth. And then Naboth gets put to death wrongfully, even though he didn't do anything wrong because of false witnesses. Or, for example, Jesus Christ is put to death at the mouth of two false witnesses in the New Testament. The way to avoid that happening is that the judges shall make diligent inquisition. Why? Because it's possible to figure out truth. And I think that if more diligent inquisition would have been made in the Naboth situation, they probably would have figured out what was really going on, and they would have figured out that Naboth was innocent. And we know that that was the case with Jesus because, remember, the false witnesses that came forward against Jesus, their testimonies didn't agree with one another. And so because their testimonies did not agree, they showed themselves to be false witnesses, and yet Jesus was just railroaded anyway with that guilty verdict simply because that's what the Jews wanted to be the verdict. They already wanted that to be the verdict. So even when the witnesses don't agree, they're just believing the witnesses. And we're going to get to that a little bit later as well. So diligent inquisition makes it possible to determine truth. Go, if you would, to Job, the book of Job, chapter 6, verse 24. Job, chapter 6, verse 24. So number one, we said that believing liars is wicked. Wicked people believe liars. You know, righteous people don't fall for their lies. They believe the truth. They love truth. They seek truth. God reveals to them the truth. And they don't just go after liars because they want to. They go after people that are telling the truth because they want to be on the side of truth. But number two, it's possible to determine truth. And that's why there's even supposed to be a trial, a courtroom, you know, a diligent inquisition being made by the judges. Look what Job says in Job chapter 6. And this is another situation where Job is being accused. His three friends are falsely accusing him. And it's sort of his word against theirs. It's like he's saying one thing, they're saying something else. Who's right? Who do we believe? Who's lying? Because at one point, they call Job a liar. And they say, you're lying. And then he says to them, you're forgers of lies. They're both saying that they're lying. So who's right? But look what Job says in verse 24. It says, teach me and I will hold my tongue. Watch this. And cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words? But what does your arguing reprove? So notice that Job is claiming to have logic on his side. And that if people will actually show him or explain to him or prove to him why he's wrong, he's saying he's willing to accept it, but that their arguing is not sound. It says in verse 26, do you imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? Yea, you overwhelm the fatherless and you dig a pit for your friend. Now, therefore, be content. Look upon me. Watch this. For it is evident unto you if I lie. He's saying, look, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to my argument. Look at me. And it should be evident to you whether I'm telling the truth or whether I'm lying. Now, at the end of this whole ordeal, remember, God is angry with Job's three friends. His wrath is kindled against Job's three friends. So it doesn't sound like, oh, it's not our fault. We just believe lies. No, they should have believed Job. They should have believed that he was telling the truth. And God is angry with them for not doing so. Because if they would have listened to him, for example, flip over to chapter 13. If they would have listened to Job, his reasoning should have convinced them. And if he were lying, it would have been evident. Look at verse 6 of chapter 13. Hear now my reasoning, Job says, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Look at verse 17. This is key. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Notice what he says. Hear diligently my speech. my speech. In Deuteronomy, the judges were supposed to make diligent inquisition to figure out who's telling the truth, who's lying here. We got a he said, she said situation. Who do we believe? Job says, hear diligently my speech. You see, if you listen to people carefully, virtually always the truth comes out of their mouth. People let the truth slip. And if you listen really carefully, you will find the truth in what people are saying. But most people, you know, if they don't care about truth, they just kind of sloppily listen to the testimony, not really paying attention to what's actually being said, just kind of sloppily listen to it, and then they just kind of believe what they want and just give it a sloppy headline and don't actually break it down and listen carefully. Now, I'm going to give you a very specific example. If you would flip over to Psalm 101, because that's where we're going next, Psalm 101. I'm going to give you a very specific example of someone who lied about me. We're going to see if you are smart enough to figure out who's telling the truth. Because I believe that if you listen carefully to this liar, you're going to be able to tell whether he's speaking truth or not. All right, so here we go. I'm going to read for you, and you got to listen carefully. Don't be sloppy. I'm reading for you an exact transcript of his words. Pay close attention. I was accused of being a fake friend. I was accused of being a liar. You know, there's a few points. There's one point in particular, which again, I'm not going to get into the details, that I can corroborate with the stories of the kids as being there. There were two specific instances. Pay attention. There were two specific instances that they told stories that I can firsthand or secondhand, firsthand being me or my wife, say, oh, I remember that, or I remember this part of that, or some portion of the story that would definitely corroborate their memory. Now, I hope you're listening carefully to that, but let me just point out some real obvious things here. How about this? I can firsthand or secondhand, firsthand being me or my wife. Folks, that's not what firsthand means. Firsthand isn't me or the guy who told me. Hey, it's firsthand. Well, firsthand means either me or the person who told me. Then everything would be firsthand. Well, for, you know, firsthand being me or my wife. No, firsthand is not you or your wife. You are a liar. You lied and caught yourself in the act of lying. You see, he starts out talking, saying, hey, there are stories that I can firsthand. What's firsthand mean? Me personally, I experienced it. I saw it. I heard it. I was there. Pay attention. This is coming out of someone's mouth in real time. I can firsthand or secondhand. What is that? Why do you need secondhand if you can do it firsthand? Because he lied and said, oh, I can do it firsthand or secondhand. Now he's got to go back and correct the lie further by saying, oh, firsthand means me or my wife. On what planet does firsthand mean you or your wife? It's just you covering up the lie that you just told. You are trying to deceive the viewer, and most people who are watching this stuff and listening to this stuff, you know what they do? They hear that, and they just hear it as, oh, he has firsthand knowledge. He can corroborate this stuff. He witnessed this stuff. He has actual evidence that he experienced, that he dealt with, and they're not actually paying attention. But you see, the judges are supposed to make diligent inquisition, and we're supposed to hear diligently when we have this kind of controversy, and listen to somebody getting up and saying, I can firsthand or secondhand or fifth hand, third hand, seventh hand. Blah, blah, blah. I can firsthand or secondhand, firsthand being me or my wife. You know what it means? He didn't see jack squat. Okay? Anybody who's actually paying attention, this isn't my opinion, this is a fact. And I'm not saying it's a he said, she said. Listen to his words, and he is getting up and admitting, I didn't see squat. I have no firsthand information here. I have no firsthand data to give. I am repeating something that I heard secondhand. Okay, well, you know what? If he were in court, you know what the judge would say? Get off the stand, because we don't care what you heard. We need the person up here who saw this or heard this firsthand to tell us. Not just what you got secondhand. But here's a bigger issue. The bigger issue is, why did he lie and say it's firsthand? To try to sound more credible. Because if he got up and said, well, you know, my wife is a known liar and exaggerator who claimed to have driven from Tucson to Phoenix in 45 minutes, you know, she saw something 16 years ago that made her a little bit, have a little bit of a caution in her mind, gave her a little pause, made her a little concerned. My exaggerating, tall tale telling wife, you know, it wouldn't really be as powerful as to get up and say, hey, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm a man of God, and I have firsthand or secondhand, and firsthand isn't really firsthand, it's actually me or my wife. Why get up and say that? Because you're a liar. Because you're getting up and lying and saying you have firsthand knowledge to try to bolster your case to make it look like you're right. Instead of just getting up and telling the truth. I didn't even have to listen and parse his words to know that he was lying because, you know, I already knew that this was a lie. And that he, you know, had no such experience. So here's another tip, by the way, on determining truth. Because I think that was like beginner level. That was like kindergarten level statement analysis right there, right? I mean, was that hard to do? Was that complicated? And not even to mention the sketchiness of everything else he said. Well, I remember that, or I remember this part of that, or some portion of that. So he doesn't remember Jack. He doesn't remember the story that they're telling. He remembers some part of it, some portion of it that could kind of corroborate, like, oh, yeah, that event sort of kind of might have happened a little bit, kind of, according to the person who told me. Oh, well, no further questions, Your Honor. The prosecution rests. Is anybody listening today? I mean, think about that. Okay, Psalm 101. Here's another tip on determining truth. How about this? Sinful people are more likely to be lying than righteous people. How about this? People who have a reputation for lying should be believed less than people who have a reputation for telling the truth. How about that? And that their testimony should be given less weight if they're an unreliable witness. And I'm going to prove that from the Bible, but look down at your Bible at Psalm 101, verse 4. It says, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. He's saying, look, I'm not going to listen to people who have already been shown to be liars. I'm not going to have them in my house. I'm not going to talk to them. I'm not going to hang out with them. I am not going to listen to or suffer these people. I'm not going to put up with them. Right? Why? Because these people have already shown themselves to be unreliable. Therefore, I'm not going to listen to them. Now, let me again read for you an exact transcript from the exact same video, okay? And I want you to listen very carefully to the words that are said. I was loyal to Pastor Anderson and believed everything he said was the truth in all of these matters because I had no reason not to believe him. Is everybody listening? I had no reason not to believe him because he has established himself in my life, in my observation, as someone who has integrity and someone who is honest and someone that would not be deceitful for, as far as I was concerned, for any reason, okay? I had no reason to not just accept what he said as being the truth, zero. So notice the words that are being said. I've known, and he said elsewhere, I've known Pastor Anderson for 18 years. And in that time, he has established himself in my life, in my observation, as someone who had integrity and someone who's honest and someone that would not be deceitful for any reason. So I had no reason to just not accept what he said as being the truth. Zero. Okay, a couple points to make here. If you had no reason whatsoever, none, zilch, zero reason to not believe that Pastor Anderson was telling the truth, then you must not have seen that thing that you said you seen. Because that would have been a pretty big reason to not believe that I was telling the truth. And by the way, the thing that was seen, just so that people don't think it was something weird or crazy or something, you know, it had to do with, you know, me disciplining a child in a way that they didn't approve of or whatever. Okay. You know, which nobody saw Jack. Nobody saw squat, as I proved to you a moment ago. But if he were telling the truth about his firsthand knowledge, then would it really be truthful for him to be able to say, well, he'd never given me any reason to not believe him? Well, it sounds like you had a pretty big reason. Oh, that's right. That never happened. Oh, that's right. That was a lie. But not only that, if Pastor Anderson had established himself in your life for 18-year track record of having integrity and telling the truth, and you'd always known him to be honest, then why wouldn't you continue to believe that he's being honest right now? Wouldn't that make sense? Rather than believing transvestites, Satanists, right, and the people who work with them. Now, I want to show you a really interesting verse. Look at Proverbs 14:5. And I hope that the sermon is sinking in tonight, because we need to go through life not only telling the truth, but believing the truth, because these things go hand in hand. The same people who believe lies are the same people who tell lies. The same people who believe truth are the same people who tell the truth, because they're just lovers of truth, or they're people who don't care about truth. If you don't care about truth, you're going to have lies coming in and lies going out. If you care about truth, you're going to have truth coming in, truth going out. Look at Proverbs 14:5. On the surface, this could be one of those verses. And look, I confess, there are times when I've kind of read over this verse and just kind of thought, like, okay, whatever. Because it doesn't seem very profound on the surface. Proverbs 14:5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Now, on the surface, this seems like it could be what's called a tautology. Okay, now, tautology is a fancy word for something that is needlessly redundant. Okay, and if you look up tautology in the dictionary, here's an example that they give from the LA Times. Anti-Jewish hatred is anti-Semitism. Okay, this is a tautology because of the fact that it's kind of just already self-evident. If someone says anti-Jewish hatred or something, you know, they're basically, yeah, they're going to be labeled as anti-Semitic. Wow, really interesting. What a shock. Or like, you know, for example, if you said something that says, like, well, either he's going to win or he's not going to win. It's kind of just telling you something that is so obvious and so unnecessary and so redundant that you don't really need to be told that. Does everybody understand what a tautology is? Okay. It's a needless repetition of an idea. So here's what the Bible does not say in Proverbs 14:5. It does not say a faithful witness doesn't lie, and you know, and a false witness lies. Because that kind of doesn't that kind of go without saying? Isn't that kind of obvious that false witnesses are lying and true witnesses are telling the truth? I mean, that's kind of just, it would be kind of a waste of space in our Bible, wouldn't it? How about this though? How about a faithful witness will not lie, and a false witness will utter lies? How about the fact that if we know someone to be a faithful witness, then we should tend to believe them, whereas if we know someone to be a false witness, we should know that the wisdom of God in Proverbs is saying, what's the false witness going to do? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Is he going to tell the truth? The false witness going to tell? No, he's going to lie. What's the faithful witness going to do? Is he going to lie? The faithful witness that we've found for 18 years straight, just knowing him so well and just knowing and is establishing. And I'm not the one saying this about myself. This is what he's saying. But then it's like, oh, he's just uttering lies. What do you know? You know, and this is what he said. He said, I'm experiencing cognitive dissonance. It's like, well, here's the thing. The reason you're experiencing cognitive dissonance is because you're wrong. Okay, you're experiencing cognitive dissonance because you're wrong. You know, a lot of times when things don't add up and don't make sense, it's because they're not true. You know, the truth tends to make sense and match reality. So remember that a faithful witness will not lie. I believe what the Bible's teaching in Proverbs 14:5 is that you should give more weight. And obviously, everybody is capable of lying. But the book of Proverbs is speaking in generalities, and it's saying, look, in general, faithful witnesses are going to tell the truth, and unreliable witnesses are going to lie. And by the way, if we were in a courtroom, there would be witnesses that would be deemed unreliable because they've been caught in lies. And that's why before witnesses even get on the stand in court, what do? They give a deposition. Before they even take that witness stand, they give a deposition and their testimony is examined. And people like lawyers and the judge decide, is this testimony even going to be allowed in court? Because we don't want to taint the jury with stuff coming from unreliable, unfaithful witnesses. Why? Because a false witness is going to utter lies. And so why would we allow a false witness to come into the courtroom when we know that a false witness will utter lies? So, Your Honor, I move that so-and-so be not allowed to testify because he is a false witness. And so, therefore, he should not even be allowed to testify because reputation matters and track record matters when it comes to telling the truth. And so, again, I want to bring you back to what the sermon's about. Number one, wicked people believe liars. But number two is that the truth can be determined. It's not impossible. And you know what? People are always throwing up their hands like, oh, there's just so many religions, I can't figure out what's true. No, the truth can be determined. Okay. And if you seek, you'll find. And the truth is out there for those who want it. And he will show it to us. God will show it to us. But not only that, you know, that the truth can be determined and that the truth is out there, but that we are supposed to, before passing judgment on something like this, you know, we're supposed to listen carefully. And we're supposed to also, you know, inquire diligently and not just be snowed by someone pulling the wool over our eyes by giving us this word salad about firsthand or secondhand. And firsthand actually means me, my brother, my mother, another, you know, it could just mean anybody. It's a bunch of garbage. Okay. But it doesn't sound as good. So you got to lie and say it's firsthand. And then you catch yourself in the lie, but too late. Lie already came out. Now, the Bible also teaches us that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. You know, you walk with God and he'll reveal the truth for you. The Bible says in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so the Holy Spirit's ministry is to guide us into all truth. And by the way, speaking of a reliable witness, I got one right here, the KJV. How about a reliable translation of the Bible that's been around for over 400 years, and it has been found over and over again to be accurate, to be truthful, and to be right? Whereas we could pull out an ESV right now, we could pull out the so-called Legacy Standard Bible, we could pull out the NIV, and we could demonstrate error. Demonstrate lies. How many errors do we have to see? How many lies do we have to see in a modern Bible version before we say this is a false witness? A false witness will utter lies. Therefore, I don't want to read this every morning. Amen. It's going to lie to me. I can't trust it. Whereas the faithful witness is not going to lie. This is trustworthy, right? The Bible in general is trustworthy. The King James Bible, specifically in English, is trustworthy. The Holy Spirit is trustworthy. Jesus Christ is trustworthy, right? And we can believe these things, whereas other religions, other books, Book of Mormon, Doctrines and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, Rig Veda, Upanishads, whatever, Bhagavad Gita, you know what? That stuff is known and can be demonstrated to be false. It's lies. Therefore, we're not going to listen to it. Because the false witness not does utter lies. The false witness will utter lies. So is that verse just a meaningless tautology? Hey, guess what? Liars lie and truthers tell the truth. That's not what it's saying. It's saying a false witness is going to lie again. And, you know, the false witness will lie again. The faithful witness will tell the truth again. Therefore, give weight to someone who has more integrity than someone else. And not just it's not just a numbers game. We got five people saying this, or we got six people saying this. Oh, the six win. Doesn't really work that way, does it? Because there's a weight that goes with these things. And lastly, I want to say this, third point tonight. And if you would, flip over to Proverbs chapter 12. The third point is that the truth ultimately comes out. See, here's one of the problems with lying. The problem with lying is that you often are going to get caught in that lie, right? Because eventually lies get found out. You know, even when the government does squirrely things and shady things, doesn't it always eventually come out? And it's kind of like, okay, yeah, we can admit it now that it's 50 years later, you know, Gulf of Tonkin incident, okay, you know, it is what it is. And we can kind of bring up these things later, like, hey, let's finally release those JFK files. You know, it's been long enough now. Did that ever happen or it's happening? Yeah, okay, who knows? But the point is that after a while, don't these things ultimately come out and people realize later, like, yeah, okay, the government lied and they were, you know, they were lying about this, lying about that. You know, look at the stuff that the government was doing in the 80s where, you know, the whole Iran-Contra deal. And, you know, the emphasis is typically on the guns and the gun running. But what about the fact that the United States government was bringing drugs into the United States and selling them? I mean, now everybody knows that now, right? I mean, is there anyone here who didn't know that? That basically they don't just fly the guns down to South America and fly back with an empty plane. They fly back with a plane filled with cocaine. And all that cocaine was coming into MENA, Arkansas, and the Clintons are there and everything, you know. I'm pretty sure that this is like openly known and openly admitted. I think they even made a Hollywood movie about it. And now it's just like, ha ha, because it's like 40 years later. But of course, the government would never do anything like that now. They would never bring in drugs now. They just did that in the 80s, you know. I mean, Gulf of Tonkin incident. I mean, what? Come on, man. When are you going to let that go? 60 years ago or whatever, you know, roughly. And so the point is that the truth ultimately ends up coming out. And if you lie, you're going to get caught a lot. A lot of the time, you're going to end up getting busted. Somebody's going to sit there and pull out the transcript of what you said and go word by word and show that you were lying. And so the thing is, you know, the truth comes out. This can be comforting to you if you're a person who loves the truth, if you're a person that's on the side of truth. But this should be scary for you if you're a liar, that the truth ultimately comes out. I'm going to read this for you from Deuteronomy. You don't have to turn there. Chapter 33, verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. You know, so the Bible's blessing Israel here, saying, look, your enemies are going to be found out to be liars. Of course, we're not talking about the modern state of Israel. We're talking about ancient Israel when they were right with God. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. I believe I had you turn there, verse 19. It says this, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You see that? Truth endures. And by the way, let's go back to the Bible versions. Isn't it interesting how the faithful witness, the KJV, has endured for over 400 years? I mean, can you imagine the same version of the Bible being in print for over 400 years? And it's not just in print. It is number one. Right now in 2025, make no mistake about it, the KJV is number one. It's interesting, you go on Amazon, and I did this on Amazon, not today or anything, but I did this several months ago. You go on Amazon, and you just search for a Bible, and everything that pops up at you is the ESV, but you'll notice it says sponsored. There's a bunch of sponsored ESV junk, but then when you go to actually bestseller, it's all KJV. But not only that, even though sometimes the NIV or one of these other versions will outsell the King James, when there were actually polls done by Pew Research and so forth, where they would actually poll people and say, do you read the Bible at least once a week? Okay, and if so, what version do you read? Among people who read it at least once a week, it's overwhelmingly the KJV. So there might be more NIVs being purchased as paperweights and doorstops and decorations and little precious moments things to put on the shelf. But as far as actually reading it, the majority of Americans who are actually reading their Bible are reading the King James Bible. That's just the way it is. After 400 and some years, it is enduring. Why? Because the lip of truth shall be established forever. Whereas a lying tongue is but for a moment. And this explains the ethereal nature of the ESV, the ethereal standard version. because the ethereal standard version is constantly changing. In fact, in 2020, they announced, they said, this is the final version of the ESV. We've locked it in. We're done. The 2020 is the final edition. Less than a year later, they said, we're updating it. And I believe they just released the update this year for the ESV. Constantly changing, constantly being updated. So you, even if you say, well, I'm just going to stick to the ESV, it's impossible because you have to keep changing with the ESV. If you're an NIV reader, well, you can't be on the 1984 NIV because the 1984 NIV is out of print. You got to be on the 2011 NIV. And, you know, and then there's today's NIV. And there's all these different changes that keep happening. It's unstable. Okay. Why? Because the lying lip is but for a moment. It's just a couple years. It's a fad. Ooh, the legacy standard about, ooh, Yahweh, you know, and all this stuff. They get all excited about the little Yahweh version or whatever. Folks, it's a fad. It's trendy. Meanwhile, the King James, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when I was a kid, we had a toaster. And you know those 1970s appliances that just, they're just eternal. You know, I saw a meme like this where the fridge was saying like, I am eternity. I am time itself. Like, you know, and that's kind of how this toaster that we had was. And we had multiple appliances like this. These 1970s appliances just never die. So we had this old toaster from the 70s. It was just so reliable. But then we bought some other fancier toaster because it had, you could put in four pieces of toast and, you know, you could adjust it differently or whatever. So we got the fancier one, had it for a couple of years, it broke, and it's like, all right, get out the old one. You get another one, breaks, all right, get out the old one. Eventually we just said, we got to stick to the old one because these new toasts, they just don't make them like they used to. And that's what the King James is, that old toaster. It's that old fridge that just keeps running and just never stops. I remember one time my brother had this boombox that would just, it was just like so reliable. And we were always abusing it and taking it rafting and dropping it in the water and, you know, just damaging it. And just, it just always worked. Then, you know, eventually it sunk to the bottom of a river. We swam down to the bottom of the river. I mean, this is an electronic device. We swam down to the bottom of the river, pull it out, and the thing's just still working. And it's just like, what in the world? And it was not waterproof. It sounded funky until it dried, but yeah. The point is that, you know, there are certain things that are reliable and certain things that aren't. That's just kind of a silly illustration about fridges and toasters and electronics and things like that. But at the end of the day, though, you know, the lying lip is but for a moment. That's the ESV. That's the NIV. That's the Legacy Standard Bible. And the truth, the lip of truth, is established forever. The King James, you know. 400 years later, here we are. Okay. And before that, even before, you know, what about before the King James? Before the King James, you still had the traditional text underlying the King James. You know, you still had the Greek and Hebrew from which this was translated from that God has providentially preserved and kept pure in all ages. So lies eventually get exposed, don't they? They eventually get exposed because the lying lip is just for a moment. Eventually the truth comes out. And by the way, sometimes hard evidence can expose lies, right? There will be a lie and then hard evidence will come out. Like, for example, you know, there are people who are wrongfully convicted or something, or rightfully convicted, but and then DNA later hadn't been around back then, but then when DNA came out, boom, all of a sudden it confirmed, yeah, this guy was the killer. Or no, turns out this guy was innocent. It was someone else that did it. And so sometimes hard physical evidence can expose the lie. Let me give you an example of this. One of the things that Joseph Smith perpetuated as a fraud was something called the Book of Abraham. You know, he came up with this scripture, the Book of Abraham. And it's, I believe it's part of their Pearl of Great Price collection in the Mormon scriptures. Well, this is what he did. Joseph Smith actually just bought some random Egyptian parchment or papyrus or whatever it was. He bought some random Egyptian document off just some guy just traveling up and down the East Coast just selling stuff. Because this is like in the early days of archaeology when it was kind of a wild west of archaeology in the 1800s when just rich guys are just kind of going and just finding stuff and just taking it home and selling it and, you know, Like now it's a lot more regulated and, you know, governments are involved and museums are involved. It used to just be kind of like you just grab a shovel and just go. And so some random guy just sells this document to Joseph Smith that's Egyptian hieroglyphics. And here's the thing. Hieroglyphics had not yet been decoded yet. So nobody could read the thing. No one in the world could read it because it's a dead language. Everyone had forgotten and the hieroglyphics had not been deciphered. So, of course, Joseph Smith decides, oh, this is the book of Abraham. Because if you remember, Abraham went down into Egypt temporarily with his wife, Sarah. And while he was down there, you know, they have this scripture that comes from that and you know, this Egyptian book. And so he translated it. Of course, he doesn't know hieroglyphics. No one knew how to read hieroglyphics at this time in the, you know, early to mid-1800s. And so he translated the book of Abraham from hieroglyphics into English through the help of Moroni, you know, through the help of angel or supernatural means, because obviously you can't read this thing. Well, guess what? The jig is up because later hieroglyphics got deciphered. And so then scholars looked at the sketches of this document that Joseph Smith had, and then they deciphered it. And it turned out it was just some random Egyptian had died, and this was his last will and testament. So this is just a will of a random Egyptian guy. It has absolutely nothing to do with Abraham. And of course, it doesn't say any of the things that the book of Abraham and the Pearl of Great Price says. And so, I mean, this is just concrete evidence that Joseph Smith is a liar. You know, Mormons will just kind of ignore this, not think about it, not research it, and just turn a blind eye, just, but, you know, I'm not going to listen type of a thing. And again, this goes back to the first point. Point number one, wicked people believe liars, right? If someone actually is a lover of truth, aren't they going to take a look at the book of Abraham and maybe Google something and think about something and start putting two and two together about some of these bizarre claims? Or how about this? If they read their King James Bible, which they do use the King James Bible in a Mormon church, they should see all the inconsistencies between what they're reading in the Word of God and what they're reading you know, in these other scriptures. And I remember, you know, I talked to a guy who was an ex-Mormon who had converted and become a saved Christian. He went to an independent fundamental Baptist church in California. And he talked about how he was actually, you know, really zealously reading the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And not every Mormon's necessarily doing that, but he would rotate. He'd read the Bible cover to cover, Book of Mormon cover to cover, Bible cover to cover. And you know what? He's seeing problems. Because if you really look into it, you're going to see the problems, right? And by the way, you know, I've often looked at things from the other perspective, like when I want to know the truth about something, like let's say 9/11 truth or something, and you know, you're kind of hearing conspiracies about 9/11. You know, I went and looked at the Popular Mechanics thing where they're debunking 9/11 truth. And I kind of want to see, like, well, what are they saying? And then it's like, whatever happened on 9/11, the stuff that Popular Mechanics is saying is lies. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm in electronics. I fly on planes once a week on average. You know, I take you know, there and back, sometimes, often even four legs a week. And I'm just thinking, the stuff that they're saying right now about cell phones, the stuff they're saying, like, this stuff isn't true. This is lie. And then it's just, like, unreliable. So I'm not going to trust what Popular Mechanics is saying. You know, you think that Mormons would at least take a second to see what people are saying about Mormonism. And see what they're saying about the Book of Mormon and the Book of Abraham and whatever. But that's a good example of hard evidence exposing the lie, right? Hard evidence. Here's another good example, and here's another one that's personal to me and my life. How about another liar who recently wrote a fairy tale about our work together and about the documentaries that we produced? And it starts out, you know, very pretty, the way many fairy tales start out, where everything's kind of la 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 la. So it started out very pleasant and positive, but when you get to the first paragraph where it starts to be negative about me, let's just start reading from the very first paragraph when he first starts to explain where it all went wrong, okay? And I'm again reading verbatim. Around 2015, InfoWars abruptly removed all of my films from their store, every title all at once and without any explanation. The timing was impossible to ignore. Stephen had released a YouTube video exposing Alex Jones just days earlier. I never understood why he would do that, especially knowing that InfoWars was my largest distributor and a critical source of income for me. My entire catalog vanished from their website almost immediately after his video went live. The financial impact was immediate and severe, cutting off what had been my primary source of revenue. Pay attention. I hope everybody's listening carefully. I hope we're developing these skills. During that time, I couldn't help but question the motive behind it all. Why did Stephen decide to go after Alex at that moment? He framed it as a matter of principle, as if speaking out was an obligation. But was it really? Now, I produced physical evidence that that's all a lie. Because I, thanks to Kevin, you know, who archives everything, I was able to find that video, because of course most of my videos have been deleted over the years, but you know what? They keep respawning. Somebody's got a hard drive with everything, amen? His name's Kevin. And so here's the thing. We pulled out the video. I uploaded the video where I'm saying in the video, hey, the reason that I'm making this video is because this week Alex Jones attacked me by name on his radio show. And his host, David Knight, on InfoWars Live, also did a whole segment about how bad I am. And what were they attacking me about? They were attacking me about the issue of homos, sodomites. I had preached hard sermons against the homos, and this is what InfoWars was saying, that I was wrong, I was bad, I was wicked, and they said, quote, Jesus would have been at that gay bar. Jesus would have hung out at gay bars. Now, is that super blasphemous, or is that me just kind of splitting hairs? I guess I'm just being a little bit picky, right? When they're getting up and saying, Pastor Anderson is wrong, Pastor Anderson is lying, and Jesus would have been at that gay bar. But again, I just don't know Pastor Anderson. I just don't know who to believe. I just don't know, man. I'm just so confused. I just pray that there could just be just, you know, I just pray that everybody could just get along. It's like, well, no, why don't you pay attention to what people are actually saying? Because he just said that he wondered and was shocked and wondering, why would Stephen do this at this time? Why is it? Why now? Does anybody here believe that he actually wondered why when that video came out? When in the video it literally says, I've been attacked this week by Alex Jones and by his employee David Knight. I've been called out and attacked by name this week. Huh, I wonder why Stephen Anderson's making this video right now. I'm so confused. I don't know. I don't know why. Right? Not only that, in the same video, I talk about the fact that they are no longer carrying the films anymore. But according to him, no, it's a result of my video that the film stopped being carried. Yet in the video itself, the hard evidence, I'm literally saying that they carried these things past tense and are not carrying them anymore. I wonder if maybe the reason they removed the items from the store could have had to do with the fact that they were attacking me by name on their show. So I'm just here preaching the Bible, preaching my sermon, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They catch wind of my sermon about homos. They become all fag-loving idiots about it. And then they start removing things from the store and talking crap about me on the air. And then I just respond. But I'm the bad guy, right? Now look, this is not a matter of opinion, but yet people will literally listen to the words that are coming out. And I'm not saying the people here in our church. I'm saying people will hear this online, what I just explained over the last 5 minutes. And you know what they'll say? I'm still on Paul. I still believe Paul is telling the truth. Even though it's, again, You know what? There are things that are gray areas and matters of opinions, and then there's people just lying. I'm sorry, when you say, oh, it's firsthand, actually it was my wife, you just lied. When I say firsthand, I mean my wife. I mean someone else when I say firsthand. Joint Facebook account claims another victim. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But the point is that basically, it's not a matter of opinion. It's a fact. These are the facts. The fact is, Alex Jones and David Knight called me out by name, and I made a video to respond. I proved it. And by the way, multiple people said, oh, I remember this, you know, because it was memorable when it happened. Oh, I wonder why this happened. Oh, that's why they took my stuff out of the store. Maybe they took the stuff out of the store because back in 2016, they were on this weird, like, hardcore anti-Islam, pro-Trump kick, and so they were posting pro-fag stuff on InfoWars, like, every day. Okay? Now, look, I don't know what InfoWars is doing now. I'm not saying InfoWars is good or bad now or what they're putting out, but I know that they went through a phase back in 2016 when both InfoWars and Paul Joseph Watson were promoting pro-homo stuff daily because they're like, oh, Muslims are so bad. Look how they treat homos. Look how they are against homos. And then, oh, this Christian pastor, Steven Anderson, he's bad too because he's preaching Islam. He's preaching Sharia law. No, I'm preaching the Bible. Leviticus 20:13. Islam didn't come up with that. That's from the Bible. Oh, that's Sharia law. They were on some weird kick. Why? Because whether you like, love, or hate InfoWars, here's the thing about InfoWars. It's not based on the Bible. It's not based on the Word of God. Can we all agree on that? So therefore, they are going to shift with the times. Sometimes they're kind of really for the Republican Party. Sometimes they're kind of saying, hey, watch out for the left-right paradigm or whatever. And they're kind of just going to go with political things. And they're not really going to have core values like, hey, well, we know homosexuality is bad because the Bible says so. Right. Hey, we all know Leviticus 20:13 says what it says. Amen. They're not anchored like that. And so therefore, like I said, I'm sure they're being very anti-homo now. Now that we're in Trump's second term and there's only two genders and all that, you know, now it's cool to be against the homos now. Now all kinds of people are speaking out against homos. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody's ripping on homos and trannies now. It's cool. You know what? People like me, you know, if we dress out of style, eventually our clothes come back into style. If we can just hang in there long enough and keep dressing the same way, eventually our clothes come back into style. You know, I remember as a joke like that, people would say, like, man, I've been waiting here so long, my clothes are back in style. You know, that's the story of my life. Well, my preaching's back in style. Now in the era of, you know, Trump's second term, all of a sudden now everybody's against homos and transvestites. And I say, hey, amen. But that's not what it was like in 2016, my friend. And they were just promoting all this faggoty stuff. And I didn't even say anything until they called me out by name. All I did, you know what I did? And I even say this in the video. I unfollowed Paul Joseph Watson because I'm just like, I don't want faggot stuff in my feed. And I'm not talking about my organic feed now. I'm talking about my social media feed. And so all I did was just unfollow, bro. You know? But then when they're calling me out by name, I don't have a right to just respond. But again, my friend, people who actually pay attention, people who actually care about facts and hard evidence, not just unreliable witnesses lying, people who have a history of lying, people who can't. And look, I'm not going to sit here and go through his whole statement and show you all the lies. Folks, the first paragraph is completely out there. Suffice it to say, the rest of it is the same way. So let's quickly finish up in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18 says this. You should be in that neighborhood. Proverbs 10:18 says this. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Now, why is it that he that hideth hatred with lying lips and he that uttereth a slander is a fool? Because he's going to get exposed. You know, eventually, people are going to know the truth. He's a fool for two reasons. Number one, because wicked people believe liars. And he's a fool, number two, because it is possible to determine truth. So eventually, number three, you're going to get caught. Because eventually the truth comes out, doesn't it? In the long run, the truth comes out. So he that hideth hatred with lying lips and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. What does that look like to hide hatred with lying lips? To lie and say, oh, I'm just so loving. I just love you. Here's hiding hatred with lying lips. Oh, you know, this is such a difficult decision for me. But I just made the decision on February 14th, 2025, to distance myself from Pastor Anderson. You're a liar. He was already copyright striking our videos 3 years ago. And you know what? He says, well, you know, the only reason I copyright strike the Bible Way to Heaven is because I need to distance myself from Pastor Anderson. First of all, he's saying that he's making that decision right now. You already did that years ago, number one. Number two, why are you still selling all my videos on your website? I want to distance myself from Pastor Anderson. Go to his website, framingtheworld.com, and guess who's all over the front page? Click on the store, and it'll sort the products by best sellers. And it's After the Tribulation, Marching to Zion, Babylon USA, Deported. Literally, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think out of like 16 products on the homepage, maybe like 9 of them, you know, had something to do with me, or maybe out of 12, it was 7 or something. It was like almost slightly more than half or something. I don't remember the exact number, but here's what we can all agree on. There's a lot of products on that website featuring moi. And so isn't it amazing how he's willing to sell you the Bible Way to Heaven on a DVD on his website, but he's not willing to let people watch it for free on YouTube. And then riddle me this. If that's why he's filing the copyright infringement, then why did he copyright strike Pastor Jimenez's Bible Way to Heaven? Can somebody explain that? Did Pastor Jimenez, a bad, bad man like Pastor Anderson? No. Right? Pastor Jimenez isn't being accused of anything. He didn't, you know, spank too much or whatever I'm being accused of. But yet, he copyright struck Bible Way to Heaven. So who's the liar? Who's telling the truth? I don't know, man. I just can't figure it out. I just don't know, Pastor Anderson. I mean, I know there's a pentagram on that channel, but I just don't know if they're lying. I know they worship Satan, but I don't know. Maybe it's true. You know, I mean, I know that everything Paul Wittenberger is saying in his first two paragraphs attacking you is demonstrably false with hard evidence, but I just don't know who to believe. You know, I'm listening to this pastor get up, and he's confirming the abuse because he, 16 years ago, firsthand through someone else, saw something that he's not going to go into, and he's not going to give any detail about just something. I saw something. But let's not forget, Pastor Anderson never gave me any reason to not believe that he was telling the truth. Never. Zero. None. I just don't know who to believe. You know, I mean, I know Muhammad was married to a 9-year-old, but I just don't know. I mean, Christianity, Islam, I just can't figure it out. I just don't know who to believe. I mean, I know the Rig Vedas are all talking about getting high and being a long-haired hippie and getting high on drugs, but I don't know, man. Maybe it's the Word of God. I know that the Book of Mormon is 75% plagiarized from the KJV Bible, but I don't know. Maybe it's a new revelation from God. Maybe it's another testament of Jesus Christ. I mean, I know the Book of Abraham has been demonstrably proven to be false by every Egyptologist on the planet who looked at it, but I just don't know. Maybe that burning in the bosom was real. You know what? It's a cop-out. People going through life, believing lies and making excuses. Saying, oh, I didn't know. They lied to me. He lied to me. Well, shame on you for believing lies. Why don't you be a lover of truth and let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth? And why don't you make diligent inquiry before blowing off your mouth about things that you don't understand and that you don't have the facts on? Because the Bible says this. It says, are you still there in Proverbs 10? Look at verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know what? Nobody told you that you had to say anything. You could have just shut up, right? You know, you're uttering a slander, but you know what? Nobody asked, oh, while we're at it, let's bring up another lie, shall we? How about this lie from the same video? How about Dave Berzins? That's who I was talking about, of course, earlier. How about when he gets up and says this? He says, well, I'm not going to make any videos attacking Pastor Anderson. And the only reason that this is live right now is so that the church plant in Greenville can see what I'm saying. So you uploaded a video to the whole world to YouTube so that your little new church plant in Greenville can see. Why didn't you just do it like a 1980s school teacher and roll in the TV and the VCR? And why don't you show them your little message? Why don't you send that to them privately? No, you uploaded it to the whole stinking world to get tens of thousands of views. And let me just ask right now, who here in this room watched Pastor Berzins make that statement? Put up your hand if you have seen that statement by Pastor Berzins. No, was it? Why did you watch? That was not for you. That was just for Greenville. No, he put it out for the whole stinking world. He texted me, I'm not going to make any videos attacking you. Then in the video where he's attacking me, in the video, he literally says, I'm not making any attack videos. I'm just communicating with my church here and this Greenville church. I mean, I guess at that point, every viewer who's been tuned in for the last 40 minutes is supposed to go, oh, crap, this wasn't for me. But I'm not sure who's lying. I just don't know. It's so difficult. It's so complicated to figure out who lies. I just don't know who to trust anymore, Pastor Anderson. Folks, when somebody gets up and says, I'm not making an attack video right now, as they're making an attack video, and saying, well, we're live right now so that Greenville can hear it. What, Greenville, Japan? Greenville, you know, Timbuktu? Like, what is that? Does bro not understand how the World Wide Web works? No, he knows exactly how it works. He's a liar. He's a brazen liar. And you know what? There are still people under the sound of my voice who will say, no, he was telling the truth. He told the truth. You know what? Anybody who sees facts like this, and they just see just facts, just concrete, it's not even an opinion. It's just, we all heard it. You can go download the subtitles, go listen to it, do whatever you want, and you're going to see that everything that I said is 100% accurate here. This is directly a transcript from the subtitles that I downloaded. This is downloaded subtitles, okay? Anyone who says, well, no, he's telling the truth and Pastor Anderson's lying, you know what, is a wicked person, not a lover of truth. They're a wicked person. Because what does the Bible say? A wicked doer gives heed to false lips. And I've demonstrated the lies. It's not my opinion. It's facts. And you know what? It's embarrassing for these two guys that I called out tonight. It's embarrassing for them to be called out like this and for this to be proven that they lied. But that's what happens to you when you lie, kids. That's what happens to you, boys and girls, when you meddle with strife not belonging to you, when you blow off your mouth about things and you get involved in other people's business and you get involved in their family issues and you get involved with a bunch of strife that you know nothing about. And when you brazenly, openly tell lies to make it look like you're right. And by the way, here's the other bad thing about lying. When you lie, you have to keep lying to keep the lie going. And then what happens is you lie, and then you have to keep the lie going. You have to keep the lie going, and then other people have to come and lie for you to back up your lie. And then you end up bringing other people into your lie, and then pretty soon there's four of you that are all got each other's back and conspiring together, and you're all lying together. Okay? So here's the scary thing about lying. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when at first we practice to deceive. Because to cover your lie, you have to tell another lie. And then sometimes you even involve other people and they have to lie for you. Now you're dragging other people into your sin. And so don't be a liar. That's obvious. You know, because I was kind of struggling with preaching a sermon on lying. I've done sermons on lying, but sometimes it's kind of like, okay, everybody already knows we're not supposed to be lying. Like, is this really an interesting sermon? Don't lie. It's kind of like, duh. But you know what? Here's an interesting angle, though. Don't listen to lies, because you're guilty, too. And shame on you for believing lies. And don't just be like, I didn't know. You should have known. Shame on you for not knowing. Or if you're really that confused, what does the Bible say right in front of you? It's right there in front of you. It says, hold your peace. Keep your mouth shut. Refrain your lips if you don't know what's going on. But again, it is possible to determine truth. And so don't go through life thinking, well, it's impossible to know who's telling the truth. No, you can usually figure out who's telling the truth. Step one, listen carefully to what people are actually saying, and they will tell on themselves. They will tell you that they're lying in their own statements, number one. But then secondly, think about who's got the reputation, who's got the life to back up their words, who's got the walk to back up the talk. Okay. And then look at the hard evidence. Look at the actual physical evidence. You know, that's going to speak volumes, isn't it? And the truth will always eventually come out. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord God, help us to be lovers of truth. Help us never to be these wicked people who just believe liars and embrace lies. And Lord God, those that are deceived by the lies of Islam and Hinduism and Mormonism and Catholicism, Lord God, I pray that they would get saved before it's eternally too late. I pray that soul winners from Faith Forward Baptist Church and other Bible-believing churches would be able to shine the glorious light of the gospel and get people saved. And Lord God, I pray that you would help people to see through these lies so that if they actually care about truth, they could embrace the gospel before it's eternally too late. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, take your hymnals, please. Go to hymn 375. We'll conclude our singing tonight with Work for the Night is Coming, hymn number 375. 375, Work for the Night is Coming, Work Through the Morning Hours. 375, sing it out now.
Work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling, work with springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter, work in the glowing sun. Work for the
dismissed.